Welcome in to the Unnamed MMA Podcast. I'm Adam Abdallah. Across from me, as always, is Jordan Sherwood. Follow him on Twitter at WoodOnESPN1000. You can follow me on Twitter at Adam A. Abdallah, our last show of the year. There is no UFC event for us to preview. We're just doing more of a recap of the last UFC event and maybe looking ahead to some of the events taking place in 2024. But Jordan, we had a great UFC 296. It was fun. It was awesome.
Take a guess. Just, I know what we're going to get to, and I'm just maybe delaying it slightly. The one fight that I did not watch.
The one fight you didn't watch.
I watched, how many, let's just say there were 12 fights. So yeah. I watched 11 of them. There was one fight that ended spectacularly, and I did not see it live.
Oh, Josh Emmett, Bryce Mitchell.
Josh Emmett, yeah. Bryce Mitchell.
That was fast.
Was putting the kids to bed during that time.
Josh Emmett coming in on short, and he was on short notice, right?
He cashed as a plus 220, 230 underdog. I put a small play on him midway through the evening, so that cashed nicely. Was not expecting that. We're expecting kind of Bryce Mitchell to grab and hold Josh Emmett down, but that was the one fight I missed.
And that was probably the best fight of the night.
That fight was awesome.
Besides Colby Covington getting his ass kicked. How about that? Your guy.
But here's the thing.
No, he lost. He sucks. He's done.
Yes,
he's over.
Yes and yes. But, everything that you wanted to happen, he lost. But, he didn't get his ass kicked.
He's done.
Leon Edwards didn't win the fight. Colby Covington lost the fight.
I don't know about that.
And, there wasn't any significant strikes in that fight. There wasn't any, look, if Colby Covington was going to lose the fight, I wanted him to get his ass kicked and knocked out.
Yeah.
But that did not happen.
No, it
Colby
didn't.
Covington fought scared. He fought like a punk.
Yeah, because he is.
And the issue that I have is every other time that he had been in the octagon, even with Kamaru Usman, the two times he was, he fought aggressive. He fought with pressure. He looked for takedowns. And he kind of blamed it on the time off. Whatever, man.
Then don't take that much time off. You're the one that took that much time off.
Yeah, agreed. But I didn't think it was going to be a factor. And I'm upset because I was financially obligated to Colby Covington. Well, nothing to do with him being a schmuck. And God,
I told you not to bet him.
Stylistically, it was the play. Leon Edwards did not win that fight convincingly. And he fought like an idiot. He tried for takedowns.
I know. Maybe you'll get a rematch. I've heard some rumors on the internet that there might be a rematch.
Colby Covington,
I don't know why,
shocked by the result of that, of the judges' scorecards.
He's an asshole.
Maybe you argue round five.
No.
But not really.
He's an ass. No. He's just trying to make his loss not look as bad. And I love the fact that basically every UFC fighter and Dana White came after us for his comments about Leon Edwards' father. That's just bullshit, dude. It's ridiculous. I'm glad he lost. I hope he never fights again.
And the fact that he defended it in the post-fight
I hope he doesn't get a title shot again just because of that.
And not only that, now he's manufacturing a conflict with Stephen Wonderboy Thompson.
Good for him. They can go.
Well,
fight,
I mean, I don't really
That's
care
fine.
About that fight, but the fact that there had been no news whatsoever about Stephen Wonderboy Thompson even mentioning Colby Covington
in the
conversation.
No.
But now he's looking to make himself, in a fight where he could take a guy down and control him and do what he does best.
Yeah. Well, and now our guy gets his shot. Bilal Muhammad should get his title shot.
Not according to Leon Edwards.
Well, Leon Edwards doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about, and if he wants to sit out for a year and a half, then they can vacate the title and they can have an interim if he wants to. You fight who's next. He's next.
I'm not arguing
you
at
fight
all.
Who's next.
I want that fight. I want the odds to come out. I want to play Bilal Muhammad to win that fight.
Absolutely.
To win that fight likely on points to
and
add
then
a little
have,
bit more value.
And then have Bilal fight Shavkat.
Yes.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I don't think Bilal should have to fight Shavkat first, and then the winner of that gets to fight.
How many fights has Bilal Muhammad won in a row now?
I think it's 10. I think it's 11 because of the eye. 11. Not. I think he's undefeated in 11 fights because of the eye poke, and he's won 10 in a row, I think.
I'm confirming this right now.
Well, because they flashed afterwards. They flashed the graphic of most undefeated.
He's won 9 fights in a row.
9 fights in
a
row.
He's unbeaten in his last 10 fights.
Because 10 is the eye poke from Leon Edwards that ended in a no contest because he couldn't keep going because he's got his eye poked out. Yeah,
exactly. And he's fought better fighters over this last couple of fights than Leon Edwards had.
You know what fight kind of disappointed me going through this card? The Paddy Pimblett fight, Tony Ferguson. Like, it felt like, and he even said it, like he gave everything in the first round and was just really tired. I felt like there were opportunities where he could have finished Tony Ferguson. And
I had Paddy Pimblett via TKO in round one.
It was so close.
So nice.
I feel like he just ran out of gas, and it just looked like he, like it was more of a respect thing. You know, like, I'm not going to choke you out. Even though they were talking a lot of shit to each other in the pre-fight. But other than that, the Josh Emmett fight was really good. The Shavkat fight was good. The Pantoja-Royval fight was really good.
That was awesome.
That was a great fight.
It could have ended in a submission to help him out, but it did not. No, I think what we learned about Paddy Pimblett is what now confirmed. He's just not really that good.
Yeah.
He's really not that good.
Well, I mean,
look, I know you kind of like him because there's associated with Bilal Muhammad and stuff like that.
I like him because he's a character.
He seems
like a good dude.
No, were you?
Oh, well, Jared Gordon.
Jared Gordon's not a good fighter. Shut up, Joe Rogan.
He's not. Shut up, man. We all know.
And I can't. You know, that's also another reason why I don't like watching the pay-per-views, because I cannot stand Joe Rogan and I cannot stand Daniel Cormier. They have given two fucks about doing research and knowing and being knowledgeable about UFC for the last 5 years.
Yeah.
Get off the broadcast.
Well, if you ask Joe Rogan, he probably does his own research. That's a science.
Paddy Pimblett is not good.
No.
Paddy Pimblett is not good. And look, I'm looking forward to fading him the next time he steps into the octagon.
Yeah. I think I don't know if they're going to try to get him on UFC 300. You know, they announced the weekend for that, April 13th, at the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. So, you know, we're looking forward to that. That should be good. But I thought it was a very good year for UFC fights. You know, they had some poor fight nights, but all the pay-per-views seem to be pretty good, especially this last one. I think besides the crappy Leon Edwards fight and Kobe Covington, this pay-per-view kind of lived up to the billing.
Oh, for sure. I mean, there were, what, I think 10 finishes of the 12 fights.
Yeah.
And, you know, very good action. I think we're set up to have a very good 2024. It's intriguing to have a guy like Sean Strickland as your middleweight champion. It's intriguing to have a guy like Sean O'Malley as your UFC bantamweight champion. And they're both fighting at the first quarter of the year.
Let's talk about that fight.
How dumb do you have to be to put DDP and Sean Strickland two rows from each other?
That's crazy. Like, and who was sitting in between them? Was it Brandon Moreno was sitting in between them?
Yeah.
And, like, his face was like, oh no!
Oh no!
Something's going to happen right now. And, but yeah, like that, I mean, that just, I mean, it adds to the what's coming in UFC 297. I like it when they, like, yes, the mutual respect. I don't mind it when we see a card, when the guys walk out for the weigh-ins, and you get a couple of the ones where, like, you know, like Shavkat and Wonderboy Thompson, there's mutual respect. He's like, I know you're on your way out. And Thompson's like, I know you're the next guy. And there's like a mutual respect. And he had all these comments about how, you know, fighting for Kazakhstan and all this kind of stuff and how he respects what Shavkat's doing. That's fine. I like it when two dudes hate each other.
Also fun.
Yeah, it makes it so much more fun when dudes hate each other. And these two, Strickland and DuPlessis, just hate each other.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people don't like DDP.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of people don't like Sean Strickland.
Let's time out on this. There's one DDP.
That is true. Dreykus DuPlessis. Okay, sorry. No, sorry, Diamond Dallas. I know. Sorry, Diamond Dallas.
There's only one
DDP. Sorry,
DDP.
Diamond Dallas. Okay.
Let's not do that.
I'm done. I'm not going to do that
I'll
anymore.
Come in there and put you in the diamond cutter.
Please do not, because there's so many variations of it. I don't want to have that happen to me. Here's the thing, though. That line flipped. We talked about this, I think, when it was released 3 or 4 weeks ago here on the pod. Sean Strickland was the underdog. Hopefully you got a ticket on that, because now he's the favorite. He's actually bolstered up to about $1.60. I'm not going to recommend anything more. If he goes higher than that, stay away. Probably a no play for me. Dreykus DuPlessis continues to evolve as a fighter. I mean, I think outside of Israel Adesanya, the victory that Sean Strickland has over Izzy, Dreykus DuPlessis has the best victory, and that was the victory over Robert Whittaker. I mean, I don't know if I'd be confident to say Sean Strickland would win over Robert Whittaker, but Dreykus DuPlessis did. But Sean Strickland now $1.60. Can't wait for that fight. The manufactured or whatever it is, the guys are brawling each other inside the in the crowd. That was awesome.
That was great. I love afterwards, Mark Wahlberg said he went to the bathroom. And so he's like, that wouldn't happen on my watch. He's like, what are you doing? You're like 5'4", dude. What are you doing? Yeah. You're not doing anything.
What is he talking
about? He's not going to say it. It's like, I'll be the calmer head. It's going to prevail here, all right? But yeah, looking forward to some of these fights here. You know, we've got a UFC fight night coming up. Our next UFC event is January 13th. It's going to be Ankalaev against Walker 2, Magomed Ankalaev against Johnny Walker, a rematch there, which should be good. I mean, I feel like Ankalaev is just going to roll through him. He's minus 500
right now. Yeah, he was
right
winning
now.
That fight, and you know, an illegal knee was thrown. Johnny Walker was ready to continue. We talked about when we previewed that fight, look, he has evolved, now training at SBG Ireland, that being Johnny Walker, but Magomed Ankalaev potentially could be the uncrowned champion of the light heavyweight division. That division is going to be extremely intriguing to see what happens with Alex Pereira as the champion, and the multitude of guys that are coming back to try and win that fight. You know, Jamal Hill's there. He had to give up the championship. Magomed Ankalaev, certainly. So that's an intriguing fight. But I'll tell you what, I can't wait for UFC 299. And
yeah.
That's in a couple of months. Mm-hmm. That's the headliner of Sean O'Malley, Marlon Vera. Maybe it's getting a shine because they announced Gilbert Burn versus Jack Della Maddalena, Kevin Holland versus Michael Venom Page. Mm-hmm. People not familiar with Michael Venom Page, he's a very elusive striker, kind of in the yolk of Anderson Silva, but not as talented as Anderson Silva. I'm not saying he's going to be a welterweight champion, but he can strike with the best of them. Kevin Holland's going to give him the fight that he wants.
Yeah.
That fight will be fireworks. Curtis Blaydes and Jelton Almeida gets rebooked, so that's an extremely important matchup, especially if Jelton Almeida wins. If he does, I believe we could see an interim championship between him and Tom Aspinall later on that year. Peter Yan Song Yudong gets rebooked. That was the fight card that was supposed to take place 2 weeks ago when Yudong beat Chris Gutierrez.
Yep.
Look, so, and as you said, nothing yet announced for UFC 300. And Dana White, and look, Dana White's full of shit, but Dana White did say the opening prelim is going to make you go bonkers.
Yeah. And we haven't heard anything that. Well, wait, we need the news dog to tell us whatever's going on there, to break some news for us. I'm sure that'll come out. Now, you know, to pull the curtain back a little bit, I produce and host, I host Black and Abdallah, I produce Carmen Yurko. You're an MC here, all right? So your job, sales, all that kind of stuff. Your job for 2024 is to find a way to get us to the Sphere in September. I want to go see whatever pay-per-view. It just says UFC pay-per-view right now, but they've booked the Sphere, which is that, like, if you don't know what the Sphere is in Vegas, look it up. It's crazy. It's this weird, like, orb that they built in the middle of. It's not really.
There's a UFC, or is it the Mexican Independence Day card?
Because Fight Night Mexico City is February 24th.
Okay.
So I don't know what September 14th is going to be, but they booked it. And it looks awesome. I think like U2 is playing there and like Beyonce did a show there or something like that. But it's insane. It looks awesome. I want to see fights. I don't know, like, what are they going to project? Because it's you're in this like 360 degree like screen essentially behind you. And like it creates this atmosphere and like the way concerts are done there. It's going to be very interesting to see like what they project behind these fighters and behind the crowd. I don't even know how many people it holds.
I don't know what they're going to do. It sounds amazing. Why does my year have to be dictated on being able to do that? During the bear season.
Because I want to go to the Sphere.
Why can't we go? We have to go specifically for the UFC event. Or
no,
you think
I
like
guess,
it's the only
fine. Then get us. Then get us to UFC 300. April 13th. Pick one. April 13th is probably easier because I think I'm actually going up to Wisconsin on September 14th, so never mind.
Okay, you're out. By the way, real quick on this, Sean Strickland over Dragos Duplessis, Alexander Volkanovski versus over Ilya Topuria.
Okay.
That's the UFC 298 headliner, and then if you pick Sean O'Malley over Marlon Vera, UFC 299 headliner. So all three headliners, all three heavyweights,
okay,
all three defending champions. That three-leg parlay on FanDuel pays plus 257.
Wow. All right. That's a little long-term play right there.
It's a
there.
Long-term play. I don't advise it at all. Oh, by the way, yeah, a couple other.
I gave it out. I don't advise it, but I gave it out.
Well, it's hard to do the long-term, you know, I guess.
Long-term parlay?
One thing I do want to mention, too, that I noticed that is a continued trend that I think people got to pay attention to if they have access to it is the live the live in-fight betting, the live in-game betting with Mixed Martial Arts. Irene Aldana, who was a selection we gave out on FatJackSports.com, one of the two winners we had. We went 2-3, so it was a losing night. But Irene Aldana ballooned up to a plus 240 underdog midway and at the end of the first round.
Oh,
and
wow.
And she ended up cashing as what she was expected to. So it's difficult, and it's obviously difficult to, you know, back a team that they're down 14-0, you know, in an NFL game. But
yeah, but that's what you do.
That's what you do.
Yeah.
And you know, there was a reason why Irene Aldana was a $1.70 favorite when the fight card, closed and it commenced. So that was one thing I was able to cash in on, which was very, very nice.
Nice. Nice.
But look, I know that people do tally. It was a overall losing year at Fat Jack for me. It was.
Whoa. You don't need to bring that up.
I do have to bring it up because that's what happened.
That's
fair. It's the first losing year I've ever had. It was, you know, a small overall loss.
I'm not going to say it's because of the podcast, but it might be because of the podcast.
No, but we won last year.
That's true.
You know, I had my best year. Like, ever. So, like, what's going on?
Well, that's regression to the mean, right? Yeah. That's what gambling is.
Exactly.
Isn't it?
Exactly. So, bottom line is, we're ready for 2024.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Anything else that you want to preview or get into on this for coming up in the year 2024? We've got Volkanovski and Topuria, too, at UFC 298. You've got a fight night between Hermanson, and that's going to be a good one, too. So some really, really good cards coming up here to start the year as they kind of ramp up to, you know, UFC 300. I wonder what the rest of the year is going to look like after UFC 300, because they're going to try to absolutely stack this card, that I wonder if you kind of see a lull in pay-per-views or in, you know, fight nights after UFC 300.
You know, look, there's a possibility of that. Obviously, the biggest question is, when is Jon Jones going to be able to recover from his surgery and fight Stipe?
Well, he said probably a full year, so would be towards the back half of next year.
Yeah, it might be this, you know, around this time, you know, next year. So that's a possibility. Then what is the future hold for Conor McGregor? Is he going to be a part of UFC 300? Is he fighting Michael Chandler? When is he going to, you know, participate? And quite frankly, I think the other thing you always have to ask, and I just thought of it, but it's probably more so for the mainstream, is like, is there a possibility of like a Jake Paul crossover into the UFC? Is there a possibility? Because obviously now Endeavor and WWE, and they're all merged into one conglomerate.
You know who, like, keeps calling him out is Patty. Keeps calling him out.
Okay, like, you know, that doesn't necessarily interest me. You know, I'm interested.
It would get viewers,
and they would circle it around other fighters and other cards. And I guess the other biggest question is about UFC 300: is Jim Miller going to get his due and be on the card? He's fighting January 13th, so he's going to have a win or a clean loss for him to appear at UFC 300 and American history as being the guy that's on UFC 100, 200, and 300.
Or he just goes, hamstring.
Pulls out of the Gabriel Benitez fight.
Could we reschedule for UFC 300?
Yeah.
I think they will. I think they'll either let him fight after, whether it's win or lose, just to have that. He could do a prelim. It'd be cool.
Oh, yeah. I don't want him on the main card.
No, yeah.
Like, he was on, like, the second fight of the night at UFC 200.
Who was promoting it? I don't think it was Jim Miller. Was it Tony Ferguson and our guy? What's his name? From here.
Curtis Blades?
No. From Chicago. We just talked about it. He just fought. He just fought. Why can't I think of his name? I'm picturing him. He just fought, Jordan. We just talked about him. He's from the area. He dated one of Chris's friend's sisters.
Oh, Glenda.
Yeah, that they should just fight it, and they both just retire. Just it.
Yeah. Okay.
That's the end. They both gloves down at the end, and we're done. At UFC 300, call it a day. We're done. You're both done. I'm fine with that.
I would be fine with that, too.
All right. That's it.
That's it. Gloves are off.
That's it. Gloves are off. That's it for us. Our gloves are off until we preview UFC Fight Knife Fight Night. Not Fight Knife. That'd be weird. UFC. Guess what?
There's some weird stuff going on in Russia.
If you're doing the Slap League, maybe Fight Knife is coming next. You never know. If you're just willingly giving dudes concussions left and right, why not just go with Fight Knife next? So we'll be back that week to preview Ankalaev versus Walker. Shocker 2. That rematch takes place January 13th. For Jordan Sherwood, I'm Adam Abdallah. You can follow him on Twitter at WoodOnESPN1000. Here's to a better year in 2024. Thank you all for listening. We really do appreciate everybody that listens and supports this show. You know, the five of you that do, thank you so much.
Like six.
We appreciate it. Maybe seven. You never know. But thank you very much. We will be back next year for another episode of the Unnamed MMA Podcast. Thanks for listening.